from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's a podcaster who's 3 weeks overdue for his fur cut, which most people call a haircut. And not sure why I procrastinate on that, but I could tell you my hair is as soft and fluffy as a pillow or a puppy's fur, because it's genetically the exact same thing. And who thinks about a puppy's fur or whatever fur you find most comforting, or whatever follicle-based product you find most comforting? I do, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. All right, but Scoot's here, and this is where I talk about, like, supporting the show. So this is really only for regular listeners. If you count on Sleep With Me or you use Sleep With Me on a regular basis, you're a long-term listener. Like, does Sleep With Me do anything unique for you, right? Is it a part of your life in it's a unique way? Like, when you just discovered the show or it started helping you, you're like, wow, I had no idea this existed, but I was looking for it. And then does it provide something for you? Is it unique, and does it provide something? Does it do anything for you? Like, does it help you fall asleep or take your mind off of stuff so you could fall asleep? Or does it keep you company? Does it distract you during the day? So is it unique or somewhat unique? And does it do anything for you? If the answer is yes to both of those, like, how much is that? Is that worth anything to you? How much are those things, the unique part and whatever it does for you, worth to you? But the other question is, like, if Sleep With Me went away, like, what would you be willing, like, would that change what it's worth to you? Would it change the value proposition? To get it back, oh yeah, I'd pay $50 a month, and you don't even have a tier at that level. So just think about that. But if any of that resonates with you, don't wait. We really are in a position now where for at least a time, I'm going to have to kind of really work hard to get more people involved in supporting the show. We have the listeners. It's just getting the attention of enough listeners, a small percentage of people, but people that are said, okay, I'll do it now. You just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus and sign up, support the show. Even if you're not sure, sign up for all the trials are 7 days, and then you could change your mind. But at least then you've done something. You said, yes, it's unique. Yes, it really means something to me. Yes, it does something for me. And no, I don't want to wait. Like, I don't want it to go away. So thanks. Think about that. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Hey, everybody, I want to do a little bit of a friendly competition here. You know, one huge way to help the show is to spread the word and ask people to actually subscribe in Apple Podcasts or whatever app, Google Podcasts or whatever app they choose to subscribe in, Spotify or whatever. And I wanted to just like make a friendly competition. That's a huge way to support the show, is just to let people know and say, hey, check out this podcast, subscribe to it. And right now, Australia, Iceland, Malta, and New Zealand are where the show is growing most. So thanks to everybody in Australia, New Zealand, Iceland, and Malta. Holy mackerel. And I'd like to see, we'll do this for the rest of the summer. And then as we did when Sweden took the title a couple of years ago, I'll figure out something fun to do. So any other country in the world, you know, you start spreading the word wherever you are. And we'll see it reflected. And, you know, keep up the good work there, Malta, Iceland, Sweden, and New Zealand. Thank you. Great way to help the show. And let's see how it goes. Thanks, everybody. And Sleep With Me is also made possible by hard worker Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful Studios, who does our theme music and edits shows, Carl W., who edits episodes, Jonathan Mann, the mystery bard, is on our lullabies. You can commission a song from him for any holiday at song.jonathanmann.net. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter. I want to thank Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer on our artwork, team at Astound on our website. Everybody at Night Vale Presents, you can check out all the amazing shows over there at nightvalepresents.com. And our listeners have their own Facebook group over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. And I want to thank the Nodderators. Just people creating a listener community in their spare time. Keith and Laura, Stacy and Sarah and Julie and Jennifer, And that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to try to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature, travel, work stuff, whatever it is, whether it's something internal or external, situational, relational, whatever, like something from a musical, because I said, what is that? Is that a line from a musical, situational, relational, foundational? Whatever it is, I'm here to help. I'm here to try to help. I'm going to try to create a safe place and win your trust if you're new. And a safe place just means, yeah, you can relax a little bit, kind of let some air out and see how it goes. And what I'm going to do is send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, rusty meanders, faded sleep dust, meanderwear, which is what I wear under my clothes. My meanderwear is not rusty, just my meanders. My meanderwear is laundered. They said when I bought it, they said it had to be dry cleaned. And I said, I'll show you dry cleaned. I thought I designed this meanderwear from the ground up to plus my meanders. And they said, when you designed it, you made it out of dry clean material. And I said, never mind. I'll be fine on my own. Sorry about that. I drifted into product development's place. Okay, where was I? I'm going to send my voice across the deep. I'm here to keep you company. I'm here to be your boyfriend. If you're new, welcome. The show's a little bit different, so give it a few tries. It's tough to make sense of. If you're new and you say, well, how does this show work? I would just kick back and listen, kind of. That's one of the rules of the podcast is you don't need to listen. You can listen however you wish, and you can not listen, or you could totally listen really closely. So that's one. Two, there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here to keep you company for about an hour. And you can fall asleep as it suits you. Like, just kind of listen to me. I'll be barely engaging, but just get engaging enough to keep your mind off of stuff. And walk at your side, keep you company as you drift off into dreamland. That's the goal of the show. Structurally, what to expect. First few minutes of the show are business. That's how we keep the podcast free, is our patrons and the people that support the sponsors there. So thank you for doing that. Then we have an intro. The intros are about 12 minutes or so, and they're different every time, though they follow a similar pattern of me trying to establish some rapport with the new listener. Hello, new listener. Refresh rapport with regular listeners. Hello, regular listeners. Smooth pat that a safe place out with anyone in need of a safe place. Hello, everybody. And where I try to be goofy and goof you up, whoever might need some goofiness. How you doing? And where I kind of interact with you to try to put like a neutral smile on your face. Even when I'm recording, I might like scratch my armpits. Like I'm at a zoo or something, because, you know, part of me, goofity, goofity, goo. They say, Scooch, we're not an infant. They say, hey, dude, that's one thing. The infants love me, by the way. Yeah, I think, I don't know if it's my creaky dulcet tones or my pointless meanders. Yeah, because they don't need to understand. They just say, well, that's a goofy face you got. Let me look at it again. And they say, if an infant could speak, it'd say, oh, you're not making a face? And it'd say, no, I was born a goof. I can just goof it up or whatever, you know, other term, like clown it up, mess around. So that's the intro where I try to explain what the podcast is for 12 minutes. And you can use the intro to get ready for bed as a part of your wind down routine during the day if you need a little chill out time, as you gather your pets and prep your pillows. A few people skip the intro. You know, use it however you wish. Some people listen to the podcast all night long. So that's a couple ways. That's the intro. Then there'll be tonight, we'll be doing a recap of The Good Place, the TV show. We'll do two episodes. It'll be very, try not to, I mean, I can't promise I won't spoil any plot points. I can promise I'll like explain jokes to the point where they lose their humor because I'm putting you to sleep. That's why. I won't really, I'll say, hey, wasn't that funny? Mostly I'll be talking about the stuff around Eleanor's house. Anything Chidi writes on a chalkboard, I'll try to see what that is and then write it down and read my handwriting. Yeah, anything Michael or anyone else in The Good Place displays on a screen. Michael's, these are the main subjects we cover. Michael's bow ties. But I don't have the vocabulary really to describe those things in Michael's office. How come, hey Jeopardy, I know I shout you out a lot. How come you don't, can you have a category, things in Michael's office? I think I would do okay on that. I mean, it depends. If it was Kids Jeopardy, I'd do great on it. But so anyway, we'll be talking about The Good Place. And then we have some thank yous at the end. So you can fall asleep whatever you wish. Now, if you're a big Good Place fan, The Good Place fan, if you're a big fan that listens to The Good Place, oh, holy cow, you got it made. I don't know if that's part of your job or your hobby. You say, when I'm not blowing wind, I'm watching The Good Place. Or if you're watching The Good Place while you work. Because I don't know when a fan, is a fan like, is that a, I don't even know. Never interviewed a fan before. I did do a show, but that's a workplace hazard for me. I thought I'd never done it, and I did an entire podcast about being a fan of my fan. But in this case, I was picturing more of an industrial fan, if you'll excuse me. You know, an industrial fan that loves The Good Place. It's just a match made in heaven, if you don't mind me punning around. Only I found that funny. Even fans did not laugh. Okay, so, yeah, I'll be talking about The Good Place, and so that's the structure of the show. Yeah, trying to think of what else you really need to know is that I'll be making humor attempts like I did there. People do ask me, Scoots, what do you use to fall asleep? Because the reason I make this show is because as a kid I couldn't sleep, and then as an adult I have issues on and off sleeping. And a lot of it is because I overthink, but other times it's just mysterious reasons. And people ask, can you listen to your podcast? I say no, because, you know, I'd be still kind of working like that fan. It would be the same thing. You say, hey, do you ever listen to a fan to sleep? And the fan would say no. Yeah, that's my job. Like I would wonder, you know, I would hear how their ball bearings are doing. Or I'd say that fan needs some lubricant. Or, you know, that fan needs to be dusted. Things that fan owners like you, Scooter, forget to do. I mean, what does it take for somebody to come and dust my blades already? Has that ever been a character in a Western, Dusty Blades? It probably has. Old Dusty Blades. I'd say, well, first of all, I'd have to figure out how to get in there to dust your blades. Secondly, I'd have to remember to do it. We've been in a relationship so long. I never knew that's what you wanted. Your blades dusted. I'm so glad you told me. Now that I know, once you remind me 6 months from now, I may remember to do it. I'm sorry your blades are so dusty. But if we're ever in a Western movie, of course they would be dusty because you'd be out there in the dust. This is more, also it's not dust, it's more of a gray thing. I guess that is dust. I didn't realize I was speaking to a fan I had a personal relationship with. I thought I was speaking to an industrial fan. That's another thing. Like, that could be someone, hey, I'm an industrial fan. I'm a fan of industry. I'm an industrial fan. Or you could be a mass-produced fan for a fandom everywhere. You say, yeah, I'm an industrial fan. Industrial strength fan. That's a sleep with me fans for sure. Right, regular, can I get a whoosh, regular listeners? Anyway, if you're new, so here's the show. I'm your boyfriend. I've been there in the deep, dark night. I'm going to try to take your mind off of stuff. I'm going to spin around in circles just like a fan would. I'm going to keep you company with a steady, like some people can sleep to that steady humming of a fan. I like my fan noise, and this isn't a joke, to have like three or four layers. The problem is, and don't worry, one day I'll conquer this. I'll fix all of this too. Don't fade your fan noises out. How am I supposed to loop your fan noise if it has a fade in there? I mean, yeah, I can do some extreme crossfade management inside of my music apps, but I mean, come on already. What are you thinking? Who needs a 2 minute of fan? I mean, a fan sound with fading outs. Who would have thought that a sleep podcast intro would turn into me trolling sleep fan sounds, but and giving away all my secret, product development info. But yeah, I did record some fans, and I forgot what I named the files. So one day those will be turned on the world, and you'll have some Scoots level industrial fan noises to listen to. But I think for most people, like, it's nice to have a boar friend, which is my job, or a boar bay, or a boar bud, a boar sib, a boar cuz, a boarber, right? Have we used that term before? It's like your boring neighbor. I'm your boarber. Or I could be your boar bird, landing, you know, instead of tweeting outside your windows like those annoying friggin' birds, you know, I'm just out there talking like this, saying, welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it's a bedtime story. And yeah, these branches are pretty good. It got some budding going here, and these branches. Never looked at the branches before, but it's pretty nice. I'm kind of here swaying in the breeze, and I'm listening to Scooter talking instead of tweeting. And yeah, Scooter, that you are implanting this thought on me to spread it around to the other birds, to not tweet at all anymore, and let people just sleep because they got stuff going on. And yeah, you know what? I'm sleeping. You know, people always say, I never see a bird asleep. Never saw a bird sleeping except in a bird's nest where they sleep. And you say, yeah, you won't catch me asleep, but you will now, because now we're listening to Sleep With Me. So that's it. That's the podcast in a nutshell, by a nut. And I'm here to help. And I really hope and I really yearn I can put you to sleep. Thank you so much for coming by. Let's hear a couple ways we keep the show going. All right, buddy. This is Scoots here. If you're new, you don't have to listen to this or worry about it. But if you're a regular listener, maybe you had the same experience I had when I tried to make the show, which was like, how come there's not something out there that sees how I'm feeling in the deep, dark night? And so I decided to make Sleep With Me because I said, is anybody else feeling this loneliness, this inability to turn off, that needs a distraction and a friend, that needs a podcast that puts you to sleep? And so I made Sleep With Me. And the reason we asked for support for the show, whether it's supporting the sponsors or supporting the show directly on Sleep With Me Plus, is because it over 120 hours per week of work goes into the show right now. And in the past, I did as much of that as I could myself, and that was never sustainable, right? So if you do count on it, supporting it, just make sure it'll be there for you. So your action, kind of, you know, make sure Sleep With Me will be there for you, but a lot of other people too. Kind of cool bonus. And if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, you get everything organized in the way you want to listen. You get story-only episodes. At certain tiers, you get all intro episodes. You get all-night, extra-long compilations. You get bonus shows and exclusives that might not fit in this main feed, and you get ad-free full episodes, of course. But you also get that peace of mind and that joy of participating in something. I don't know, you say, wow, I'm glad this is in the world because I needed it. So if any of that appeals to you, think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. But thanks, and those of you that are hearing this have supported the show in the past, thanks a lot, because the show's here because of you. And this isn't, like, I know not everybody's in a position to support the show, so I totally understand that too. And that's a great thing, again, for the people that do. There's people that would love to support the show, but they can't. Or there's people that would love to support the show, but they're just kind of stuck or whatever. So your support supports the show for them too. So thank you so much. All right, so we're talking episodes 9 and 10 of The Good Place. Someone Like Me as a Member is episode 9. And it starts off with the sweet sounds of a wonderful world. When I think to myself, it is a slow motion butterfly, a three arched stone bridge, as we've seen in this botanical garden that some of the episodes, that is The Good Place, or is the essence of The Good Place, or is it Los Angeles or other area? I'm not sure where they shoot The Good Place. I mean, everything. So where they shoot it. There's also a distant shot that we last saw Michael, Janet, and Chidi when Chidi was, he said, you should be a cartographer. And Chidi said, oh, stomachache. No, he said something else. He was talking about his directional issues, which still cracks me up. But there's a rainbow. There's a rainbow there. It's not a double rainbow. It's actually a fading, beautiful rainbow. And it's the overhead shot of the entire Good Place. And then we have a close-up of Eleanor. She has a goofy smile on her face. Adam Scott snaps. I like how he has a very fitting of his character, and he just looks good. He's got a blazer with a T-shirt on, that casual look. That flower, that white flower is on Michael's desk. Adam uses the term ding-dongs, which made me think of ding-dongs. The whole Bad Place crew is there in the background. They're doing a lot of using their phones in the background, which I think people, that's like one of those things, like everybody gets fed up with that, but everybody kind of does it. If we are all like, just like, I don't know, we need a cultural construct for that that doesn't involve finger pointing and sighing, though. But the people from the Bad Place were doing it and slouching around. Michael's desk is back to normal, just in case, like me, you were thinking about it. His desk has the blotter, or whatever you call it, that you write on. His desk set, the pen set. I don't think the pen set ever left. What does this say? Trevor keeps losing points. What does that even mean? Trevor keeps losing points. There's something. Lazing points. They mention unicorns, which is always, you can't ever go wrong with unicorns. And we get some more Eleanor backstory, because Michael says she's a part of our team. And then we go back to Adobe High. And you could Google, you could watch Good Place to find out what their mascot is. We have a young high school age Eleanor, I guess. She's drinking orange soda. She uses her mop top, which cracked me up. A gel pen was also used. Oh, no, because I looked, there was a couple of signs, so I'll spell it out for you. One sign says SCORPI-OTIES, pride. And it says, posh, it's 2 days in a row, something for the... It's 2 days in a row for the red and the yellow. Okay, a poster, not posh, poster. I saw a sign for a food fair that was coming up at Adobe High. I like how it sounds in the character who said it, Adobe High. Then we're back at Tahani's house, and she has a green marble, like a really fancy green marble table. Her Degas ballerina paintings on it. We get a quick glimpse of Bad Janet, not all clad in leather. I don't think her pants are leather. They're leather-like, but they have sparkles. Like, so maybe some sort of leather, like leather, like, I don't know. Michael has never dealt with negative emotions, according to this part of the show. Yeah, we get real Eleanor and fake Eleanor, and really grand stuff. Real Eleanor's excitement at her CLOWN nook. So, the only thing that would make it better, Adam Scott's character, Trevor, that's the character's name, says to swear to Bieber. So they do praise Bieber where they can't come from. They talk about endless baby showers and long jazz songs being two of Eleanor's least favorite things. Also, Chidi knows Elton John. Casually, he knows that Elton John's a piano player. Eleanor does not. What does this mean? They go to dinner. What does this mean? Subtly segue. Subtly segue. It's in quotes. I don't know what that means, but it happened maybe in the episode where I thought about it. And then Janet says, what is a poppers? To Jason. Or no, maybe that's in Michael's. Maybe this is at Tahani's house. They're doing imitations of Michael. I wonder if Tahani says something about segues. Let's see, mop top. I'm looking through here to see what I can find. For some reason, I have the closed captions off just because I was actually watching something for enjoyment and didn't want the captions on. By the way, bravo, Netflix. If you turn the caption, I mean, this is a real bravo, not a, it's like if the closed captions are on your device, then they're on your TV too. Bad Place Crew, Bad Janet, Nearest Cafe. Anyway, let's get back. Real Eleanor's eating Tom Yum Goong soup. Chidi's having grilled eggplant. I can't eat shellfish, but I do like that Thai soup. Before I realized I was allergic to shellfish. Trevor actually is doing a little Michael action. He has a hot pink pocket square going, but a regular tie, a paisley tie. Eleanor has a really good glare at Trevor at one point. Then we get some really nice human stuff with Jason and Janet. And Jason's really, I guess, empathizing with Janet. He says, I really know how you feel. Matters is what's in your heart, I think he says to Janet. Let me see if I could figure out what he says. Yeah, all that matters is what's in your heart. So that was that's what he said. Also, Jason says he ate 50 jalapeno poppers once in 2 minutes. And this episode and maybe the next one have a lot of big hugs. So there's a big hug between Jason and Janet, like a legit hug. Then Tahani uses the term trust falls with Barry Diller. And I don't know if Barry Diller was famous for doing those at meetings, but it just stuck out to me. It was in character. At 11 minutes and 10 seconds, Michael has a tie. Oh, yeah, this part's cool. Because they start partying, and Michael has like this awesome flashing bow tie. Like, almost like it has a neon around it. I mean, definitely some sort of LED type action, but not lame at all. Like, you get a tie that's supposed to light up. It doesn't usually look cool. His looks cool. Then the song, Who Lets the Dog Out Play? Who Let the Dogs Out Plays, which people from the Bad Place are big fans of. Trevor also has a big, very big rectangular square. Well, Trevor, how do you do? I think I already mentioned. I think that was his pocket square. A lot of if you watch the acting going on in the background, it's all very good. Like watching the people from the Bad Place acting as Michael's talking, really good. Michael does some dancing at the party. There's also the idea of the concept of time being inhaled. There's his tie. It looks so cool. At least at the distance they're shooting him at. Then we get, they talk about the Nixon tapes a little bit. Something 14, for, oh, for 14, 13. Okay. So they're at the bar now, Trevor and Eleanor. Over Trevor's right shoulder, there's someone eating dinner and they have their body language, they couldn't figure out. It's like they're ending, they're trying to enter into dinner conversation. They're like half sitting, half standing. And at first I thought they vanished, but I think they just walked behind Eleanor. I mean, I realize they're cutting all this, is that it's a TV show, but it was just stuck out to me. Something out of a Drew. What does that mean? Vanishes like something out of a dream. Trevor's big pitch to Eleanor is, hey, you won't have to try to fit in the bad place, you know, which has kind of been thematically, like, you don't belong here. Like, where do you belong? Then it's the morning after the party at Tahani's. The party lights are still moving slowly. Tahani takes some faceboard crown Eleanor. I don't know what that means. Face bar crown. Eleanor's sleeping in her bathtub. That's another thing. It's like a great bathtub for sleeping or bathing. And it's like high up above a window that goes into her patio, which, I mean, normally if anybody's on your patio, you wouldn't want to be in the bathtub. But like the bathtub is above the window. I was just thinking, man, I would love to take a bath there. Yeah, because you could take a day bath and it'd be relaxing having all that sunlight. I guess you couldn't do, like, usually I watch, like, I'll casually watch episode of The Good Place across the room, but even at night, it would be pretty relaxing. I don't know, something about having the window there, for me, especially you're in the bathtub, nothing, and you're above it, so no one's going to be able to see anything. I mean, this bathtub was huge. So I guess I'm just saying, it would be awesome. Here's Eleanor. How come my closed captions, subtitles, that's what they're called, they never started? Okay, then we go back to another flashback of Eleanor working for a tech company. First one that was weird was they had a giant bowl of butterscotch candy. He said, I wouldn't work there. Because I'd be like, sorry, you can't accept. He said, well, how much are you going to give me? You want to buy my podcast for 40 million? Well, you have a bowl of butterscotch candy here. I can't possibly do business with you, I'm afraid. Like, are you described, are you run by a conglomerate of grandmothers or something? I mean, a few butterscotch candies mixed in with something, I can understand. Then they have a giant thing of saltwater taffy. That one I don't have as big an objection about, but I still would be like, can't you get some friggin' M&Ms or something more mainstream? I mean, yeah, I guess the saltwater taffy, I don't think it's, believe me, I have some saltwater taffy from like 4 years ago in one of my kitchen cabinets. The beautiful design of my luxurious living is up against the wall the communal laundry's on. And so if someone does laundry all day, at some point it melted the saltwater taffy. Then we go to Eleanor's work at NasoPro. There's a sign on a wall that says GTFO. Not team. Eleanor's big on not being a part of a team. She doesn't join things, or past Eleanor didn't. Then we see they're using Tahani's dining room table for negotiation. In her house, in Tahani's office, but she doesn't have an office. Michael has a really nice lighter blue tie that I'll wear for a while. Kind of like a sky blue, maybe a periwinkle. A kind of plaid white. I don't know what that means. Maybe it's a pocket square. Maybe it's a suit. And then it says, or maybe it's what's on the tie. And then a darker blue pocket square. Eleanor aspires to be a good place. Michael channels his inner. Oh, this was really good. I don't have a time on this. But this is like the end of Willy Wonka. The original Willy Wonka, Gene Wilder version. And I'll say it in a Sleep With Me voice. He says, "You'll get nothing. You get nothing." Michael totally channels Gene Wilder. I'd love to know in an interview if he did, or if it was just, it was totally unrelated. But he says it just like reminds me of that scene in Willy Wonka. That was the scene that stuck with me. People say, "What about the fizzy lifting drink?" I say, "What? What about that boat scene?" Well, I kind of remember that. What about Augustus Gloop? Yeah, kind of. Well, but I mostly remember everything about the movie. What, Mike TV? Oh, yeah, I remember that part too. Veruca, yeah, okay, I remember that. I remember that. But yeah, also when he said, "You get nothing," when he looks like a dad after work instead of Willy Wonka. Anyway, back to Bravo Michael. We get to see where Jason's room is, which is kind of behind the buffet kitchen storage for Eleanor, Tahani's house, because you see a giant coffee maker, extra chairs, some other buffet equipment, and that's where Jason's secret room is hidden, or what was his meditative sanctuary, but he gets busted by Tahani. She says, "Let's chant." And then the next episode kicks off right when their conversation. Jason ranks the Fast and Furious films, where if you're wondering, and I don't know, I'm going to have to watch these movies too. I mean, I haven't watched them in a while. I don't know if I've seen number 7. But here you go. I'll start with it. Tied for the third best Fast and Furious movies, according to Jason, which I would say it would probably pretty spot on. I mean, I don't know. Movies 3 and 4 are tied for number 3. Movie 7 is number 2, and movie 5 is number 1. So if you want to see Fast and Furious, I would say go 3, 4. Maybe watch 6 first. I don't know. It didn't make the top 3. So those are the best Fast and Furious movies. You still use the term professional amateur DJ. Tahani thinks Ariana Grande, she's like, "Is this someone you're related to?" Or it's just a funny exchange. She also has a permanent no snacks rule. She says, "No snacks in my house." Then we're in Michael's office developing a game plan. We meet Bomba John. Oh, this episode's Cheaty's Choice. That's how, this is really good. We get a lot of Cheaty backstory. Cheaty. Sorry. Just trying to do how Tahani says it. We're in the Everything Is Fine waiting room, so it's Bomba John, real Eleanor and fake Eleanor. They're using it as a conference room. Eleanor has a glass of water. There's blue and yellow wide highlighters. I think the highlighter brand highlighters. Some copies of the Universal Code of Ethics are being used. We start to learn about Cheaty's kind of flaws, that he's no good at making choices under pressure. We're also in Michael's office where we see the Trojan horse is over Michael's right shoulder, or maybe it's not a Trojan horse. Cheaty has a couple of great, really good stuff about dry erase boards. Maybe we'll read it. He also uses the term vexed when he always vexed, and he filibusters his recess. Man, I mean, this show is just so well written, acted, and directed. Yeah, Eleanor says that Cheaty once talked about John Rawls for 2 hours. Bomba John gives a good hug to Eleanor, like a really good needed hug. Cheaty gets busted as Jason's love whisperer, which, of course, I can't think of who that is, the famous person. I know the movie Roxanne was based on it. Then Cheaty does a little bit of Just Sleep With Me about, he talks about dry erase. He starts listing the pros and cons of pen and paper versus dry erase boards and saying, well, list the pros and cons. We would need to decide. It's just really good. They say ethics team. Eleanor says that. We get into Eleanor's house, and we see this. We get a really good look at her coffee table, which is like a some sort of wood plank coffee table, maybe reclaimed, polished. But I have big issues with her couch. I don't even know it's a couch. It's more of a futon with a back. And it's, I don't know, I guess the Icelandic primitive style. They don't like to be comfy and watch TV because it has a really long base, like too long, longer than anyone's upper leg, whatever that you call that, your femur thing. And definitely like the back of it's wood. So not only is it too long for you to bend your knees without sitting, without your back against something. I mean, maybe they have better posture in Iceland, but just no way to lie down and watch TV unless you're lying flat on the futon part. They say, well, what do you have to prop yourself up with pillows? I don't know. I like to lean back. I don't know. So I guess they have problems with your couch or sofa. Yeah, I said, how could you even use it? True love is rare. This is good dialogue. Okay, so this is what he says. No, Chidi, true love is rare, like a desert flower betwixt two oases. But true love's also simple. And right now I'm just a girl, towering over a boy, asking him to admit he loves me. And then Eleanor says, I feel like her confession's a lot better than mine. Then we see a Jason flashback of his big accomplishment where he interrupts Zach, the newscaster, and WTLV and a weather report, Jacksonville, Channel 12 Jacksonville. Zach, CZYTCHU. That's his last name, the news. But Jason calls him Carson Daly. He says, that's my greatest accomplishment ever. Then Janet gives him wings, chicken wings, as a gift for his kindness. Oh, this is Tahani says, Chidi. Chidi. That's how she says it, I think. Chidi. I think she has a little more E in there. Chidi. Chidi. I can't do a Tahani imitation, but 11:03, we get, this is really good life lessons here. Eleanor gives two examples, legit examples of giving apologies. This one's the real one, where she apologizes to Tahani. She says, yeah, I did, and I'm very sorry. I think maybe that's not when she gives the great apology. Because you think you're supposed to, what's the apology you say? Where does it go? It's something, you say you're sorry. I forgot, it's like four parts, right? You say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Maybe like when you say you were wrong, you say, yeah, I was wrong. Oh, she does that. She says, I was wrong for not telling you Jason was not, Jianyu. And she says, I'm sorry. And then she says, we have a complicated relationship, but I care about you. Oh, she says, yes, I did. I'm very sorry. And then she says, yeah, let me fix it. How can I make it right? So she kind of hits those notes. So I guess it's just three parts. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Can I make it right? And you think also, like, you have a right to your feelings, maybe as part of it, too. Okay, so good apology by Eleanor, 11:03, and she gives another apology again. Then they watch Deirdre and Margaret, which is an imaginary BBC show that ran for, like, 16 years, had 30 episodes. And we're in Michael's office. There's 7 books and a steno pad on his desk. Then we have a flashback. Uzo is Chidi's best friend, and they're eating at a restaurant called Eating Nemo. Yeah, his bestie, Uzo. Chidi is can't decide between pumpkin soup or risotto. A little piece of factoid about Eleanor that I may have mixed up. She had her first job when she was 14. Yeah, then she gives an apology when she's doing Tahani's hair. She says, I'm really sorry. And Tahani forgives her. And she says, maybe you and Jason are meant to be together. And then Eleanor says, maybe we're both banned from public transit systems in our cities. But then there's then Janet shows up to show that save the date in 10 minutes, Jason Mendoza and Janet are going to be married. And there's even a save the date card that Janet's holding. Janet calls Tahani. Oh, and then Michael calls Tahani Strawberry Mango Twist. I was like, Michael, come on, man. And Eleanor, because he's saying he's trying to help Chidi decide who he's in love with. Eleanor, who is some sort of purple yogurt, real Eleanor, who seems to be some sort of pineapple sherbet or sorbet. And then Tahani Strawberry Mango Twist. Then we see Uzo's wedding day, and Chidi's very sweaty, but he's faked out. Uzo says, I'm your best friend. I knew this would happen. But then Chidi says, you know what? I'm headed to the good place right now. And he goes and does it. And then he says, and then he's back with Michael. And he says, Michael, I think I know who I love. And Michael says, go do it. And Chidi says, I'm going to trust my gut. Then we get to the wedding. And the wedding is it's definitely a high point for sure, like 2 minutes long. Jason dances in, and it's just so good. He dances in, and Eleanor, the only attendees are Eleanor and Tahani, and they're drinking wine and kind of laughing. And he's Jason's actually really ripped. He's got good buys. I said, holy cow, and tries, because that kind of makes it, you know, they balance each other out. And then he says his, what are those vows? He says, Janet, my digital queen. Janet, we can dare to dream. Send NUD pics of your heart to me. And then he says, Jackson Jaguars rule. And then Janet says, it just so much like it's just weird how Janet is much different than Data in Star Trek. But she can be the fountainhead for so much. She has a different kind of humanity and a very different character. But she's also like this fountainhead for humanity and human moments. As Data was, in some sense. She says, Jason, when I was rebooted, I lost all my knowledge. I was confused and disoriented, but you were always kind to me. According to the central theme of 230,000 songs or something, movies and poems, I researched for these vows in the last 3 seconds. That's what love's all about. And then Janice says, by the power vested in me by me, I pronounce this husband and wife. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a really beautiful moment. They did say, can you officiate your own wedding? I didn't have a chance to look at it. Huge smiles on Jason and Janet. Janet's bouquet is also beautiful. It had white and lavender roses or, you know. There's a bar in Tahani's place. And Tahani and Eleanor in front of it talking. There's a giant plate of chicken wings. It looked really good. Chidi says, here's my three favorite yogurts, which made me think about soft serve versus frozen yogurt. And then I thought, what are my three favorite, not frozen yogurts, but soft serve? And I said, well, I guess chocolate and vanilla twist, that's one flavor. I haven't had like a blackberry, but I think, or some sort of berry-based soft serve in a long time, because since California, we don't really have a lot of soft serve ice cream places. You know, newsflash, appreciate what you have, people. You don't know the glory of the world you live in. I mean, it's not, you know, we got other good stuff, but, and you can get Froyo, but that's different than soft serve ice cream, which we'll learn about in the factoid part. But yeah, blackberry is another one that I don't have a lot. Then after that, I wouldn't even know where to go, because usually those are like, like I talked about, there's like this one place where like it's in a gas station, believe it or not. And they have like 80 flavors of soft serve because they inject, you know, some flavor gel in there. But, and I can't have Irish cream normally, but I can have Irish cream flavored things. And they have like a Irish cream injected flavored soft serve that just has a hint of coconut in there, whatever the flavoring that they decided for Irish cream was. And it's delicious. I love that one. So I guess that would be my top three, even though I haven't had a blackberry or a berry, boysenberry, mixed berry, you know, whatever you want to call it, probably like 5 years. Those would be my top three, just in case anybody's wondering. And with that, they're married. Let's see what else. Tahani says, you were my nearest lifeboat to Chidi. And then she goes, she said, you know, I was mixed up. And they talk about kind of, she says, true love is what Janet and Janu have. She goes, you know, we had some kind of connection because we're highly educated sophisticates, but not true love. And then we just get to watch Michael or Janet and Jason dance their wedding dance. And the episode comes to a close. Oh, wait. And Chidi learns all this. And he's like, what? And that's how the episode ends. All right. So first thing I want to cover was the differences between frozen yogurt and ice cream, like soft serve and stuff, which I didn't actually know. Yeah, there's a couple. This is from Spoon University, which I think is like Austin area. Oh, Texas. Yeah, Ashley. This was written by Ashley Peek, P-E-E-K, from Texas Christian University in May 13th, 2015. And this is on spoonuniversity.com. And let's see. So there's ice cream. Which, according to the USDA, according to Ashley, is 20% cream, 10% milk, and usually about 10% fat, though some can have more. And it's usually, it'll be frozen. And then there's frozen yogurt, which it says is just ice cream, but soft, same ingredients, but from a machine that incorporates more air and doesn't allow the ice cream to get as hard. Then there's gelato, which is that churned very slowly, contains about only 4-5 to 7% fat, a higher ratio of milk to cream, and served at warmer temperatures and then versus being super icy. Then there's custard, which I think some soft serve ice cream is custard sometimes, or maybe only fancy, but I think I remember frozen custard as a kid. That has egg yolk in it. All the other ingredients are the same, but having yogurt, she mentions a place in Milwaukee called Cops Frozen Custard. And then there's frozen yogurt, which, let's see. In the addition to the mixture of ice cream, yogurt is added, which makes it more tangy. But then, let me see. I think there's an article over here at sfgate.com, healthyeating.sfgate.com. And this one, I don't see an author credited, but ice cream and frozen yogurt are made from dairy. In order for a frozen treat to be labeled as ice cream, it must contain 10% milk fat. And some can contain up to 16% milk fat. Frozen yogurt is not made with cream and does not have a fat requirement. It's made from cultured milks, such as yogurts. So there you go. Not really. I guess what I'm looking for is frozen custard, or what I'll be looking for next time I can. Next thing I want to cover was Carson Daly. Because Carson Daly's, Jason loves Carson Daly. Carson Daly seems like one of these preeminently likable personalities. So I thought we'd just find out a little bit about him. He was born in Santa Monica. His mom's from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Wow, went to Santa Monica High, Loyola Marymount. So went to a Jesuit school, but dropped out to become a pro golfer. Worked to make St. Patrick's Day an official holiday in Ireland, maybe? Was an intern at Jimmy Kimmel at 18 in Palm Springs. Started his broadcasting career at KOME in San Jose. Then quickly bumped up to the 6 to 10 p.m. time slot at KROQ. Then MTV recruited Daly as a summer VJ on a show called Motel California. At the end of the summer, they said, well, you better come on permanently and move to New York. Then he started MTV Live, then Total Request Live, all from 98 to 2003. Then did some New Year's Eve, did one New Year's Eve special. Then in 2011, host and executive producer of the NBC show The Voice. Appears in a brief but pivotal role in My Name is Earl. Is filled in on the Today Show and the Weekend Today Show. So there's some interesting stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't have, I mean, I just say that guy seems likable, really likable. He must be, it seems like a nice enough person and charismatic, like, and seems very intelligent. Now, there's a line, and I had to look it up, of from the movie Notting Hill. It's a rewritten line that Tahani says, and this is mind-blowing to me because I can remember going to this movie. It was from 1999, and I'm pretty sure it's a really enjoyable film. I think I've only seen it once, maybe twice. It's a romantic comedy. It's written by Richard Curtis, who had rewritten Four Weddings and a Funeral. And it stars Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts. It was well-received. It was the highest-grossing British film that year. Won a BAFTA. The plot is a romantic comedy. I think kind of, I don't want to get into it too much, but Julia Roberts kind of plays a Julia Roberts type character, and maybe I'll have to rewatch it. But this is what I wanted to read from here. Richard Curtis developed the film from thoughts while lying awake at night. This is from the Wikipedia article on Notting Hill. He described the starting point as the idea of a very normal person going out with an unbelievably famous person, and how that impinges on their lives. Mike Newell was approached to work on it, but it was already working on Pushing Tin. Duncan Kentworthy turned to Roger Mitchell, and finding someone as good as Roger was just like finding the right actor to play each role. Curtis chose to write it in Notting Hill, as that's where he lived, a perfect melting pot and setting for a film. Which was kind of hard filming it in such a busy urban area, because they didn't worry about having Roberts and Grant on public streets with all the onlookers, but they did it anyway. First day of shooting was on Portobello Road, and there was gridlock. But people believe they were genuinely excited about the film. It was a lot of work, but it sounds exciting. And Richard Curtis is quoted as saying, I would sometimes wonder what it would be like if I just turned up at my friends' houses and where I used to have dinner once a week, and the most famous person at the time, be it Madonna or whomever, it all sprang from there. How would my friends react? Oh, if he showed up with Madonna, who would try to be cool? How would you get through dinner? What would they say to you afterwards? So I just thought that was interesting. Another person that came up was Barry Diller, who is a very well-known American business person, chairman of and senior executive of IAC and Expedia. founder of the Fox Broadcasting and USA Broadcasting, member of Television Hall of Fame, born in San Francisco, started a career in the William Morris Agency mailroom after dropping out of UCLA. Learned a lot about the entertainment industry through their archives, worked a way up to work for the head of ABC West Coast. From there, Diller worked on negotiating broadcast rights for feature films, then became vice president of development in 65. Diller created the ABC Movie of the Week, pioneering the concept of made-for-television movies through a series of 90-minute films produced exclusively for television. Then served 10 years as a chairman of Paramount, starting in 74, where they churned out hit television shows like Laverne and Shirley, Taxi, Cheers, films like Saturday Night Fever, Grease, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Temple of Fun, Terms of Endearment, Beverly Hills Cop. Then 84 to 92, held the positions of chairman and chief CEO of Fox, and had a lot of hits there. Then bought a stake in QVC, acquired the assets of Silver King Broadcasting, the rights to USA Network, and locally run stations dubbed USA Broadcasting. Then in the 2000s, chairman of Expedia, so a lot of things. Also was a mentor of, according to 2003 on a Bill Moyers show, against a media consolidation. So that's good to know. Also was a mentor to people like Michael Eisner, Don Steele, Jeffrey Katzenberg, Don Simpson. Diller and Diane von Fostenberg have donated a lot of money to different causes. So a little bit about Barry Diller. I don't see anything about their trust falls in there. Another thing was gel pens were mentioned, and I was like, what's a gel pen? Well, according to Wikipedia, gel pen uses ink which is pigment suspended in a water-based gel. Yeah, because the ink is thick and opaque, it shows up more clearly on dark or slick surfaces than typical inks used in ballpoint or felt-tip pens. Gel pen is similar in design to an ink-based pen, with a barrel containing writing mechanisms and a cap, a reservoir filled with ink. It has a higher viscosity, which just supports the proportion of pigments in the medium. So, I don't know. I said, what's the difference between a gel pen and a regular? I thought it was a marketing thing, but turns out it's not. Okay, what about a ding dong, which I have at home sometimes? It's a chocolate cake produced and distributed in the U.S. by Hostess Brands and in Canada by Saputo Incorporated under the name King Don. It used to be known as Big Wheels at some point. Been produced since 1967, except for a little while when they were out of business in 2013. And it's round with a flat top and bottom, 3 inches in diameter, slightly taller than an inch, similar to a hockey puck but smaller, with a white cream in the center and a chocolate glaze over chocolate cake. Originally came in aluminum foil, so it could be carried in lunches. It used to be, I don't know, I do enjoy those, but like so. And then real quick, we'll cover the Arch Bridge, which we see. This is also from Wikipedia. Arch Bridge is a bridge with abutments at each end shaped as a curved arch. They work by transferring the weight of the bridge and its loads primarily into a horizontal thrust, restrained by abutments on either side. A viaduct may be made by a series of arches although other more economical structures are typically used. The oldest one is it was in Greece around 1300 BC. That's still existing. The stone Kobol Arch Bridge is still used by the local populace. There's a 4th century Rhodes footbridge. Although true arches were already known by the Etruscans and ancient Greeks, the Romans were, as with the vault and the dome, first able to fully realize the potential for arches for bridge construction. And it features a list of Roman bridges compiled by Colin O'Connor. It features 330 Roman stone bridges for traffic, 34 timber bridges, and 54 aqueduct bridges. A substantial part still standing and even used to carry vehicles. And you can read more about that on Wikipedia. So that's a little bit about those are some things we learned in tonight's episode. A good place to learn and sleep. Good night. Okay, I want to thank everybody for doing the show over on Apple Podcasts. FJ, FKC, JD, NJD, VJ, DNC from Canada. Says, very beautiful. This podcast, in all honesty, makes me feel safe. I habitually sleep with the lights on. But when I play this podcast, I can turn the lights off. Also, it makes me dream, a rare occasion for me. Oh, well, that's very nice. Molly J did not like the podcast. And it did help him fall asleep, though. Ava Fox Show. Wholehearted and relaxing, makes my night, makes me smile, if not on the outside, then on the inside. Awesome. Glad this exists. Daria, a girl, says, so helpful. Friend recommended it. It really did help me. I've yet to be awake by the end of an episode. All H's and two or three L's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 H's and 3 L's, maybe. Thank you. Podcast amazing. It's the only thing that I found that helps in the middle of the night and puts me back to sleep. Thank you for existing. Thank you for reviewing. How about Adam Can Sing? Love this app. Love you, Scooter. Works every time. Don't last more than 5 or 10 minutes. And then I want to thank some people on YouTube. Ethan, Helena, Deborah, To The Point, Eliza Libby, Andrea, thank you all, thank you and good night. Kel Bell, Miss Brownie, Celia, thank you, thanks and good night. Asmat, Nuclear, Ruth, thank you, thanks and good night. Friedrich, Caesar Pizza, and Savesa, thank you and thanks and good night. Love, MY, and James, thank you, thanks, and good night. Kamasu, Ryan, and Jeremy, thank you, thanks, and good night. Eduardo, Me and Dog, and Bunny Rabbit, thank you, thanks, and good night. Wern, Matthew, and Ann, thanks, and good night. Megan, Susan, Steve, and Matau, thanks, and good night. Thanks, and good night, everybody. Thanks for the bore, love, and good night. All right, everybody, Scoots here. I'm doing our month in review on Sleep With Me Plus, which is similar, if you're still listening on Patreon, if you could think about moving over, but it's going to be similar to what you would have seen there this month. And as far as the ad-free episodes, a lot of them are coming out in the ad-supported feed that you all listen to as well. I gotta find the right podcast app. So I was also buying time because, so on Sleep With Me Plus, one of the main differences, everything is separated out into its own feeds. So there's 4 different podcasts. I'm going to start with the bonus episode podcast. So it just has bonus shows. And on March 2nd, a mayor tour, Welcome to Scooterville, a posty special edition super deluxe episode came out. These are really cool. They come out on a couple Saturdays a month. And these are something that's just really important, been really important to me. ideally down the road, we'll have budget to do more, or somebody else even do a version two. But it's basically Chris Posty Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful. It takes an episode of Sleep With Me and reimagines it in a sense. That's pretty much it. That's all the instructions for Chris. Hey, take an episode, reimagine it. But this year, Chris has been doing this for years. So in the bonus feed, it's years and years and years of this. As a matter of fact, in the bonus feed I'm looking at, there's 377 episodes. I think that's in the Boar Besties feed. But so right now in 2020. Four, is that what year it is? Chris is doing this Scooterville series. So definitely worth checking out if you're like, love Sleep With Me, you're looking for something like a little bit different with some sound design, you want to listen to it during the day, or a lot of people, when they start to support the show and they discover these, this is what they sleep to because everybody's a little bit different. What else we got in this feed? Audio news, Scooterville, Contact, TNG Contact Part 2 came out since I think we last recorded this, and then a Fearless Flyer episode is about to come out, I think maybe this week, the February Fearless Flyer episode. Okay, then Boar Besties and Boar Friends also get a feed with All Intro and All Night shows. So Thursday night, All Intro episode came out. Weird, the All Night episode, I might have archived it, but Big Farm in the Sky, P.I., I guess there's an all-night episode that's going to come out or should be in this feed that doesn't seem to be there. So this is good. I'm checking this. This is live quality control. Maybe it's in another feed. I put it in the wrong feed. But yeah, not sure which one it is either. So I'll have to look into that. So that's interesting. Okay, then you get a feed with ad-free full episodes. And so they don't have any, they don't have the supporter zone, they don't have the sponsor stuff, they don't have the Mystery Bard music or the thank yous at the end, but they are something that, because you can listen to that in the ad-supported version, right? But so let's see, episode 1245 came out Sunday, that was Great British Bake Off episode 8, Multiplex episode 3 came out, Hickory Dickory Farms, Ren Faire with Ray came out March 3rd, 1243, 1242, Bake Off episode 7 came out, February 25th, Multiplex episode 2 came out, Julius J. Juice, what else we got, 1240, Apple Cider Redo, that was Trader Joe's Shop and Cook episode, big retraction in that one, you know, retracted my opinion on apple cider donuts from Trader Joe's. So, yeah, and then the audio news. And then in story only, we had, C12, the same thing. Everything comes out on Sleep With Me Plus. This is so cool. There's something we only have been able to do since we moved to a new platform, is we're able to put out the story only episodes and the full episodes on the same day because they're in separate podcasts. We couldn't do that on the old platform because everything would just been too clogged up and it would just been too confusing for a large number of people. So now, yeah, story only, there's like a lot of story only fans, and yeah, they got the same thing. Great British Bake Off 8, Multiplex 3, Ren Faire with Ray, Great British 7, Multiplex 2, Trader Joe's Shop and Cook, Apple Cider, then Dessert Week, Great British Bake Off, whatever, episode 6, Multiplex 1, Wandering Towers, Board Game Unboxing. So yeah, that's everything that came out this week. I don't have my calendar in front of me. I've been working really hard at the planning calendar, and we got some exciting stuff coming up to sleep to. That's so exciting, you don't need to listen to it. What do we have? Multiplex 7 I recorded yesterday. Started writing Multiplex 8 today. These are a couple months away, but the Guild, the web series of the Guild, did a part of season 1 of that, and we're definitely going to do season 1 of that and probably season 2, maybe go on, I don't know, maybe do season 1 and season 2 and take a break. Those will be coming out late spring, early summer. I came up with two new ideas for random Tuesday episodes. One with pillow, like other plush friends, a pillow pet. And then another one that would be called the Marble Vagabond. And those are episode ideas that came out of intros. Neither of those has been recorded, though. Those intros were recorded. The Marble Vagabond intro will be in part two of our coverage of the movie Bring It On. What else have we recorded? We did in the last month, we did an episode called Willy Wonka Interactive Experience, Immersive Adventure, which I was really happy with. And that's going to be a new genre of Sleep With Me style show of like poorly run immersive experiences, like the one like that kind of got a lot of press. And we got to work on the audio for something very similar, but it was called the Willy Wonka Experience. Also not a very high budget experience, but at least it had audio from Scoots or a narrator like Scoots. So that'll come out late spring, early summer. And then our crossover series, we got three episodes done, episode 2, 3, and 4 from season 1. So that'll be coming out this spring too and summer. So yeah, that's everything right now. And thanks so much. If you're listening, it's a free feed. It'd be great if you think about supporting the show at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. This enables us to do everything we do, and those of you that support the sponsors, we also really count on those of you that just spread the word about the show. So thank you for doing that, and that's it. Good night, everybody.